See, I play with fire.
You have.
I play with fire.
Yes, because here's the thing: you try to do it under the radar, kind of like, oh, it's just windy being windy, but you know what you're doing.
I play with fire.
He saves it for the end, is what happens. No one's listening to this point.
You juggle fire. You eat fire.
But
Gina,
I advertise
Gina, who's sitting here, wears fire shoes.
Ah, there you go.
Hello. Thank you for listening. It's the Hoop Collective Podcast. It's a special edition. We're at the Lake Chalet in Oakland where we do our filming for the jump. We're not really filming. We're not really putting on film. We do our televising of the jump and First Take and other shows. And we're sitting outside just because it's a beautiful day in Oakland. There's not a cloud in the sky. So you may hear some ambient noise like that airplane flying over. We're very excited because Amin El-Hassan is here.
The ban has been lifted, apparently. Boy, that suspension was a long time.
Mama, there goes that ban.
Oh, come on.
we should tell that story real quick because, well, Kevin Pelton, down from Seattle, and Andrew Hahn. Last night, when they showed the Steve Nash walking up the tunnel after the game, taking his son out of the game, and Jimmy Goldstein. Go ahead, Amin. What's the...
Apparently, Mark Jackson said on the telecast, Mama, there goes that fan. Much to the delight of one Kevin Wilds, who is the executive producer of The Jump and Sports Nation and many other, and NBA Countdown and a bunch of other shows. But that opened a Pandora's box of Kevin Wilds trying to come up with all the different permutations of using words that end with A-N. And how they would ever appear in a broadcast.
Right.
Including
right.
a fan spilling a lovely custard-like dessert all over the floor and Mark Jackson yelling, Mama, there goes that flan.
Which they're known to eat courtside at Golden State.
They will soon.
I feel like this is the best of Kevin's half-baked ideas. He's had a lot of them.
Interesting game last night, eh?
That's one way to put it. You know, it's funny how many different things happened at the end of that game that led me to the point where I'm talking to Danny Martinez, one of our jumper. Danny Corrales. Danny Martinez works with Miami Heat. Danny Corrales, one of the jump producers, and he said to me, "Well, why was it such a close game?" And I said, "I don't know, because my mind is awash in just that end of the fourth quarter and overtime."
There's so many things that happened that got overshadowed. Like Klay Thompson got hurt. Left the game. We thought that, I don't know about you guys, I thought he was severely hurt, that he had sustained ligament damage on that collision.
He did.
With J.R. Smith.
He sustained ligament damage, just not serious enough to keep him out of the game.
Well, he had a bone bruise, right?
I think there's ligament damage. Okay. All right, never mind. I didn't
say that.
Reckless
speculation.
Here we go again.
Aggregators.
Aggregators. Brian Winhurst reporting.
I didn't say that. By the way, are we 100% sure he's going to be okay for game two?
No.
MRI. We got to see what that's why we can never know what happened on the night of a game, because most teams. I think I heard of one team trying to buy an MRI machine.
Way too expensive.
I know, but I heard
also the upkeep.
Wait, but there's some teams that have like the Blazers have an orthopedic clinic.
Sure, but
next
door,
so they can do MRIs. I think on
during a game.
I mean, I don't know that they would do it with a player as important as. I mean, Klay was back in the game within 10 minutes. You can't do an MRI that fast,
right? But. So, you know, it's coming. That technology's coming soon. But, the idea is that, you know, you'll never know on the night of a game whether it's ligament damage unless you just can't stand up anymore and it's...
Well, they can somewhat tell sometimes.
Yeah, you know, like they touch.
But anyway, you're right. Klay got hurt and came back and, George Hill, escapes infamy to a certain extent.
For sure.
Hey, there's a lot of people who escaped infamy. Kevin Durant escaped infamy. No one's talking about that one. Game on the line, and that was the softest rebound attempt I've ever seen, right? Originally, when I
it
saw...
It was a long rebound.
No, it wasn't. When I saw the replay, I thought that was Tristan Thompson that grabbed the rebound. I was like, yeah, man, hard with Tristan on the block. Then I realized as he kept saying, no, that's JR. It wasn't a Tristan rebound and pass out to JR. That was JR the whole time. And I mean, he just didn't go up with any sort of oomph. You know, mustard on it is.
Yeah, the ball sort of just.
You should have put a little mustard on it.
I don't know if anyone caught that Warriors reference.
Classic.
The ball did come off kind of high. I think JR was kind of surprised he caught it, though. But Kevin Durant was supposed to get that rebound.
Yeah, that's why you're 7 feet tall with a 7'6" wingspan, whatever it is.
The offensive rebound rate on missed free throws is extraordinarily low. I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's very low.
I think the ball just kind of fell in JR's hands. I think the whole thing surprised him.
Clearly it did.
He was probably thinking about defense.
He's hustling back on defense until he realized he had the ball.
The thing about it is when you watch the replay, JR is surprised. He's surprised at two things. LeBron points. LeBron points like that way, young man, right? That way.
I mean, come on. It's like a famous story of the 20s, like guys running and scoring touchdowns the wrong way. Like, right. This is what this was.
But LeBron points like that way, right?
Yeah. Two hands, by
and
the
so
way.
So JR's like.
No, the two hands was post.
Oh, was it?
That's the exasperation. I think it's just one hand during the play, right?
Yes. JR is running away because he's thinking, if I get away, they can't foul me.
Right.
He's trying
to do the Havlicek steals the ball and then dribble it out.
Yeah. That's right. So LeBron points, and he must think, oh, I'm supposed to pass it over there. So instead of shooting, he throws it to George Hill in the corner. And the game ends, or, you know, goes to the fourth quarter ends. And LeBron does the two-handed thing, like, what the hell just happened? By the way, will that meme have staying power?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, and it has such staying power that I'm a little upset that it overshadowed what literally happened a moment later, which was the transition from maximum frustration to Jesus Christ. And just walking away, that...
You're right, he did.
The last time I remember a moment like that, and it's burned in my brain. You guys remember JaVale McGee when he played for the Wizards, and there was that one possession where he tried to post up, and then he tried to throw a hook shot, he got blocked, and he's falling out of bounds. And then he gets up and runs back up court thinking that they don't have the ball, and John Wall's got the ball in his hands, and he looks back at him like... What am I doing with my life playing here? Like, that was the exact look on LeBron's face.
By the way, another thing that was overshadowed from this game, JaVale missing the dunk. One of the great all-time Shaqy moments.
JaVale missing the dunk in game one of the NBA Finals in a very tense moment, and the reaction from his own bench is, ha, ha, ha. They all laughed.
By the way, also the audible scream in the crowd when JaVale caught the ball and assumed there was somebody on him and there wasn't. And the crowd screaming, you're open, dunk it. So LeBron points. By the way, one of my favorite memes I saw last night was the guy looking away from his girlfriend meme.
Oh, yes.
And it said Jordan Clarkson looking back at Jordan Clarkson. And the other guy, or the girl, was the girlfriend was said LeBron.
There's another one from last night. It's JR. It's JR. Hold on. Let me pull it up because I want to get this right. JR is a guy looking back. The girl is wearing a t-shirt. The girlfriend is LeBron with the two hands.
Right. I did see that. Yeah.
And then the girl walking away has a t-shirt that says, we're ahead. And there's a basket in the background just randomly. And they got the JR head. It has the
yeah, it's the squinted eye.
The
squinting. Yeah, I saw it. So to get back to that moment, LeBron points to like the other direction. JR does as he's told and just throws it there. The fourth quarter ends. LeBron does the two handed like, what are you doing? And JR in a moment there doesn't understand why he's yelling at him. I'm telling you, he doesn't.
He's looking at it. He is staring.
I did forensic breakdown of this frame-by-frame film of this.
It's a pretty film.
Then JR looks up at the score. He looks up at the scoreboard, and you can see the realization come over his face. And that's when he says, I thought we were up, based on my forensic lip reading. I thought we were up. And that's when LeBron turns on his heel and marches back to the bench.
It's kind of surprising that... After all these years, especially with like HD broadcasts, that companies don't employ lip readers.
A Seinfeld episode back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, the cool moment that I thought, enjoyable for us, was when LeBron blocks Steph. The game's over in overtime. LeBron rejects Steph. And I think what LeBron, let's just say that I know somebody who's sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure what Steph said was, you couldn't let me have one. Which Steph was trying to kind of be lighthearted. Like,
right.
It's not game seven. It's okay. We'll live to fight another day. And LeBron was not having it.
Yep.
LeBron basically said, get out of my face. And that's what he exchanged.
When he pushed him?
He pushed him away on the way up. I mean, he said some things, but he said, get out of my face.
Another moment that was overshadowed, when Draymond fouls LeBron and Kendrick Perkins is up woofing and Draymond starts doing the cheerleader pom-pom thing, which real time sitting in the arena watching, I'm like, what is he doing? Like, is he making fun of LeBron? Wait, LeBron didn't really do, I couldn't understand. And then watching SVP last night, they're spot shadowing Kendrick Perkins, like, oh no. I mean, it's just so much, so too rich for a game one, right?
I know.
This is like a series worth of stuff in one game.
Also, LeBron wears the suit shorts.
Oh.
That was a throwback to Draymond. Draymond wore the suit shorts to the NBA Awards show last year.
That's right, he did. He did do that.
So, it's amazing.
Adam Silver had a good line about that he was wearing suit shorts behind the podium.
That was also
funny. His press conference.
Also, by the way, how about Adam Silver just dropping a hard cap reference in the middle of
multiple
that.
Times.
Yeah.
Multiple times. Well, you know, if you have a hard cap, maybe you can have some of this parody you guys are so desperate for.
It was a pretty good little, like, lawyer level, trash talk.
There are no accidents with Adam Silver.
Well, yeah. But I mean, the CBA is 6 years away, 5 years away.
You gotta start early. Lay the groundwork.
It wasn't shorts weather.
Oh, for him to, yes, it was very chilly. It was, I don't know. No,
especially post game.
Yes.
It wasn't the pregame.
I showed up at like 3 o'clock at the arena and I was cold.
I mean, it was warm enough that I didn't wear my suit jacket like until I got in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it that.
Jordan Clarkson also elected to wear the suit shorts yesterday.
So this was part of the regularly scheduled road trip gifts. But only one person said, right. I'll give it a try.
Well, you know what that is? It's sort of like, let's say that all of us, let's say Andrew Hahn was sponsored by Banana Republic. Actually, let's step away from that. Let's say Andrew Hahn was sponsored by Adidas, and Amin was sponsored by Puma,
mm-hmm.
and Kevin was sponsored by Reebok, and you guys wore your Reebok gear. And me, as the best player on the team, of this particular team.
All right.
I'm like, hey, guys, I got great gear from Nike. Here's the gear, and you guys are all going to wear it to the game. Congratulations. Here's your gift. And what about these guys like, hey, you know, I actually was kind of looking forward to wearing my gear, and, you know, it's kind of – and oh, by the way, you have to wear these pants. They're going to be like 6 inches short, and you have to wear these ridiculous boots too. Here you go. Like, it's kind of a...
There's certain pieces of flair element to this whole thing.
Did he have boots on?
No. Last night?
Yeah.
LeBron, yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Can I give you a theory?
Yes.
What if LeBron thought the Rockets were going to win the West, and they were going to be in Houston, and it definitely would have been short weather in Houston, having been there on Monday?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in general, like, what happens if you, like, really like your particular headphones? And then LeBron comes out with like the beats that, you know, everybody's got to wear. Are you like...
You're fit out then.
I mean, it's like the thing...
That's what happens.
Right.
You're fit out.
So, yeah, if he had worn Banana Republic, like he's got... Is it Banana Republic or...
Kevin Love is Banana Republic. Like,
don't you think Kevin Love had some Banana Republic gear he was planning on wearing in the postseason?
Free is free. I don't know what
else... It's not about free is free. It's about I'm getting paid to wear this.
Already getting free. That's like the free agent meetings where they bring the guy the iPad. Here's an iPad with your stuff. Oh, I'll just throw it over here with my 37 other iPads that I have.
From every stage of my life.
Oh, this iPad is out of battery? I'll just throw it out.
I didn't even thought about that.
You'll reach a point when your kids start using the iPad that you'll probably need the 37.
The NBA is a world of excess.
For all the wrong reasons, though. Like, they'll get iPads for the whole team and free agents that won't even sign here. Hey, can we get a server so we can back up these games? Oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
You're exactly
different
right.
Budgets. Two different budgets.
You are exactly right. That is exactly how it goes. We need a 10-day contract, to have a guy, we're going to have one practice in the next 10 days. We better sign a 10-day contract guy. How much is that going to cost? Oh, like $48,000. All right, just do it. hey, can we upgrade the,
By the way, that guy is there so that enough players don't want to go to the 5-on-0, we have someone to be the fifth on the floor. That's what that is. Because a lot of times those guys are just there.
But can we hire this intern full-time for $48,000 a year?
No. No way.
$48,000 intern. Hey, that's a... What is
I'm sorry, I was upgrading.
I'm gonna say, that's Nick Kerr right there, 48 grand.
Oh my God, we're not talking about the finals at all.
I think this podcast should just be devoted to us describing NBA memes and discussing them. Ranking them, maybe.
The look on LeBron's face on that shot is, it's got staying power, I think.
Oh man, that's like I said, we got a series full of content out of just one game.
So I don't think Kevin Love's going to get suspended. I'm pretty sure he's not.
Definitely
going
to. Deserves to get suspended.
Yeah, are we going
to
let Amin rant
100%
on this
needs to get suspended. Or I'm a flexible man, Brian.
Oh, you are?
If Adam Silver gets on a podium and says he's not suspended because this rule was dumb and we hurt good teams in the past by applying this rule in a dumb way, I'm all for Kevin Love being ready for game two.
I think Amin has to recuse himself from this discussion.
I'm just saying, like, they need to apologize for that. Or to say they need to change the rule. The rule is dumb. It needs to be changed. But they have to acknowledge they're changing it because they screwed over good teams and good people.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. Are you saying to me that if they issued a formal apology to the Phoenix Suns franchise and their fans?
They don't have to say us specifically. They say, we've applied this rule.
You're telling me you would feel better about it?
I would. It won't replace what I thought was the best Phoenix team that I worked for. It won't replace the almost guaranteed championship given who the Spurs played after that series. But it'll at least for me, it'll absolve every single time something like this happens with Kevin Love yesterday. And people say, well, he didn't really mean it. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. Because where was all that talk when we got gutted, basically?
I mean, I think there was some of it then. To me, this is probably more akin to the situation where, like, I don't know why I can't. The only situation that pops into my head is Michael Williams got suspended against the Sonics in a playoff series in 97. It's like the guy who takes two steps onto the court. Like, they were
what
they
was
were
the,
rushing
when
into
CJ
the
McCollum
fray.
Got suspended earlier this year. How I can't remember how far that, onto the court did he come?
Was that this year? Or was it?
Yeah, it was in the. It happened in the preseason. He got suspended for the opener. And they only beat Phoenix by like 75 points.
It happened against the Clippers, right?
That sounds plausible.
He was suspended against the Suns, but it happened. The incident happened against the Clippers. I want to say.
I feel like it was somewhat similar to this, where it was just like he was just by the letter of the law. Inside the four lines.
I'm team letter of the law until they say letter of the law is dumb and we're sorry for going letter of the law.
Letter of the law, he should be suspended.
Yes.
However, I do not believe he will be.
See, and I'm going to be the one calling it. I'll be honest. Not because I think it's fair that he gets suspended, but because it's a dumb rule and they need to address we have a stupid rule on the books.
So let me just, so today, Amin's on the jump and he heard that this was not going to be a topic, which, you know, is a fair point.
I went LeBron. I said, yeah, so I...
I scratched it.
I had to scratch that.
maybe my favorite moment in my beat writing career.
Really? The scratch that press conference?
Bill said the fighter pilot quote, right?
The fighter pilot quote was the next day.
Okay.
The fighter pilot quote was only funny in my mind because in the... when we were all writing in the post game, we were playing Highway to the Danger Zone.
Oh.
but when I don't know if I can describe, but the whole moment where LeBron said that play and he stopped,
he pauses, yeah,
for effect, and he's got his finger, he has his finger stretched out on the table, and he just moves his finger across and he goes, "I scratched it." Just the verbiage.
Did you see? I scratched it. Or is that I had to scratch that?
No, he said I scratched it. It was.
That's awesome.
I almost teared up.
That is an awesome, awesome moment.
So yeah, so we were not going to talk about the Love possible suspension. And Amin, like, called in and said no. And we haven't, the jump hasn't even, we haven't even done the jump yet. And I know what Amin is. Yep. He is, you might as well just drag the soapbox right out, slap it down on the ground and get up on it.
If we were in LA, we could definitely workshop that out here. Well, we're at a restaurant. They must have boxes.
Oh, they definitely have boxes.
Yeah. I'll talk to the guys. We'll try and get that.
I guess I watched the CJ McCollum play. It is actually a pretty good comparison for what happened last night with Kevin Love. So, yeah.
I wish we could have just had visual of what Amin just did.
Amin took a victory lap while sitting there.
And by the way, in the lake, not around the restaurant, but I actually swam around.
Not that hot.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get suspended. I also would not be blown away if they downgraded the Tristan Flagrant.
Yeah.
I could see them downgrading Tristan Flagrant and then giving him a tech. Because he got in Draymond's face.
And a fine.
Well, you get a fine for the tech.
No, I mean, up above and beyond the 1250 or whatever they fine them for, yeah.
Okay, because he was in Draymond's face.
Failure to leave the court in a timely manner, right?
He walked right off the court.
he did after he got into Draymond's face.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, good point. Yeah. Tristan's not getting... Tristan's going to get downgraded.
I mean, I actually did a radio hit in Cleveland today, and they said.
I bet you enjoyed that.
Oh, they were very pleasant. It was very fun. They're good. That's funny. The radio guys who talk to me in Cleveland are really good. The ones who sit around and trolling on the internet and making up stories, not so much, but I don't
are
have to.
Are you going to Cleveland next week?
I'll be there for game four.
Okay.
Yeah, game three, I'm going to be in Miami. Or I should have been all along. The conversation we had was about Tristan, and they said, "Do you think Tristan's going to be suspended?" And I said, "Oh no, do you think that Tony Brothers was wrong to kick Tristan out of the game?" And I said, "Actually, I think he did him a favor because by ejecting him, now it's like okay, time served and a fine, as opposed to if he didn't kick him out, then there's a whole discussion: should he play in game two? We don't have that discussion today if he doesn't eject him. I don't think."
Boy, just so much stuff happened at the end of that game. And you know what no one talks about is the fact that the Cavs rolled over to start the overtime.
But that's a gut punch, Brian. Like, that's an emotional gut punch. It's hard. I don't blame them, right?
Fair, but we have to acknowledge that it happened.
And it's, by the way, it's, again, people are so focused on the JR thing, but it's like this... cascading event, bad events happening. The block charge, the George Hill missed free throw, the JR, whatever he was. There was just a lot of stuff that happened right there at the end of the game that it's almost like if they had more time and they kept playing, I think they could have played through it. But having it the end of the quarter, end of the fourth quarter, beginning of overtime, sit back at that bench, you begin to process, Jesus Christ, what did we just do? And the first thing I thought about was Toronto, Cleveland, game one. Toronto should have won that game.
Absolutely.
They messed up the end. They go to that bench and say, oh, man. And the self-fulfilling prophecy happens.
So I'm thinking in my head, Nick Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Misses the two free. Was it two, three, three? How many?
Four.
Three, four free.
He missed two. He grabs his own offensive rebound and then missed two more. And they still didn't mean anything until the other end. Clyde Drexler, layup, miss, Hakeem Olajuwon tap in, ball game.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then they got swept.
Right. So, which will it be? Will it be they rally, or will it be...
I think... Okay, KP, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you know, from the standpoint... First off, I think the fact that this game was close revealed that the argument I made for why this might be a close series in my preview, because of Andre Iguodala's absence, I feel more strongly about that.
He's strutting there a little bit.
I also spent the first two-thirds of that column saying why this matchup wasn't close. So, you know, I don't want to go too far, but clearly they missed Andre
hedge.
Iguodala.
Classic Pelton hedge.
Pelton, you're a specialist in giving grades. What would you grade the Warriors' performance last night?
C+?
That's about where I would go.
They did shoot 50%.
Yeah, it's weird. Like they didn't
only
play
had seven
poorly.
Turnovers. I had seven turnovers.
I would say this. First and foremost, I got to give a a game to just LeBron brilliance, right? There's going to be a game of LeBron brilliance slash the shooters will make shots.
That was pretty good brilliance. But the shooters.
Shooters make
right.
shots, yeah. right? LeBron brilliance plus shooters make
shots.
They've
had seven out of their last eight games. They've been off from three.
Yeah. So there's that one. Two is the Warriors' tendency for complacency. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And if they have a big game two, that means game three is going to be a yawner. And if it's a big game three, then a game four.
Like, we don't want to celebrate in Cleveland again.
There's just something about the Warriors there. Then, now, if beyond those two things, right, that we expect to happen at least once, then you start to say, okay, what are the circumstances that Cleveland can actually emerge out of this victorious? So we look back at 2016. What were the circumstances? You got Steph Curry not 100%. You got
Bogut
hurt, misses the rest of the series. You got Andre Iguodala pulls his back. You got Draymond suspension. You've got LeBron James making the greatest defensive play of all time. You've got Kyrie Irving hitting one of the biggest shots in finals history. And then you got Kevin Love going one-on-one against Steph Curry, being able to make a defensive stop. And, oh, and by the way, Harrison Barnes is for seven straight games, right? So
maybe eight. It was more than
if
seven.
If you're the Cavs and you're down 3-1, there's a certain set of circumstances that you need for us to have a chance. But we have to be good enough to take advantage of that chance. They did. They won. If you're the Cavs right now, you're saying, okay, Iguodala's out. Klay Thompson is now iffy. Draymond teetering. I mean, last night, if Livingston doesn't...
He made threes last night.
But if Livingston doesn't grab Draymond Green... After the ball is mushed in his face, do you think he calmly resolved the situation?
Well,
on his
I
own?
Thought it was interesting. So he got his fourth tech earlier in the game.
Yeah.
What if they had just thrown double techs on there? Just as you know
yeah.
they do.
Yeah.
He could have had tech number five.
Yep.
Which all of a sudden now you're like
now it's an issue.
Now it's picking up.
Now it's an issue, right? So
yeah.
So if you're Cleveland, you I think you go. As heartbreaking a gut punch as it was, if you're the Cavs, right? It's a gut punch, but I don't think it ends in a sweep because I think you go back to your room and say, we're the underdogs. We almost beat them with their shooters making shots other than Durant. Curry and Thompson shot well. We didn't shoot well. And we have all of these boneheaded mistakes. And we had a very questionable call go against us. I'm looking at it. I'm like, yo, I mean, we're not that far off.
I mean, the other thing that they can draw on is, like, they've played much worse than this in games one and two the last 2 years.
Yeah.
In Oracle Arena. And in 2016, obviously, you faced much longer odds than being down 1-0 in the series and came back from it. Orlando didn't have that to draw on in 95.
They've been down 1-0 in three of the four series they've played this month.
I know. Although this was not a feel-out game, suffice
true.
It to say, from
true
LeBron.
But this was a funny thing. They defended really well.
They defended really well starting in the Celtics series.
And No. I'm not talking about, like, keeping guys in front of me defend well. I'm talking about on the split cuts and the cross screens and all the off-ball action, they actually communicated and did it right instead of what they were doing against Boston. Like, let's both follow Marcus Smart and forget Jaylen Brown. What's he done lately? You know, they did that numerous times in that series.
And in half court.
In half court.
The transition defense was not good last night.
Well, I mean, again, part of that is... Look who you're playing.
Like, yes.
Well, there was an interesting, so the Warriors definitely had said they were going to run. We were looking to light out and go, and they gave up 19 offensive rebounds because they were looking to let out and go. And you know, I don't know. Maybe the Cavs will take that. Maybe the Cavs are willing to give up some transition to get second chance opportunities. And then the Warriors are like, all right, I'm sure the Warriors are like, let's run, but let's, hey, how about grabbing a couple extra defensive rebounds?
I mean, I think one of the interesting questions here.
On the defensive glass.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting questions here that we were kind of debating in the ride over here is who should be the fifth guy as part of alongside the four all-stars for the Warriors. We didn't see Sean Livingston until overtime with that group.
So Brian, because you're great at asking questions and I'm terrible at it, I'm tasking you with this. Why is Steve Kerr so averse to using Livingston in the place of Iguodala in that lineup? And I'm not just talking about now. I'm talking about over 2 years. We've got less than probably 70 minutes of total game time.
Especially since Iguodala can't really shoot threes.
Yeah, it's not like you're missing his...
I mean, that's gone. Yeah. So, like, I mean, it'd be one thing if he's like, listen, we got to have a shooter there.
Mm-hmm.
But Looney can't shoot threes.
No.
So...
And Livingston's at least approximates the passing.
I actually thought Looney played. I know he started JaVale in the second half and they got like four glorious minutes. But Looney, I thought, played okay in the second half.
JaVale packed like 48 minutes worth of content into those 4 minutes.
Both ways.
See, I personally feel like in game 7 against Houston, their best option with that group was Jordan Bell. I mean, he had their best plus minus on the team, I believe, in that game because of the fact that he gives them a second rebounder when Draymond is switched out on the perimeter.
The thing about it is, when you have a guy out there like, when your fifth man is like Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney, Love doesn't have to.
No, yeah.
Doesn't have to work. Although,
I mean, that's a trade-off.
He's got to work, and I mean, obviously, it's something he's good at, which is cool. He's got to work on the offensive glass, on the defensive glass, because those guys are very active. But that plays into more of his strength as a defender than another type of player.
They forced Love into. They went through a period in that fourth quarter where they were just rotating in between. Switching love onto KD and Love onto Curry. They were just like having fun going back and forth.
The Love on KD mismatch did not particularly work in the Warriors.
No, Love actually kind of held his own.
KD was pressing.
Right, but the thing about it is, the only way that that works, the only way that it makes sense, is if Love, you know, makes a shot or two at the other end. He did make the 1-3, but he was 1 of 9, I think, on threes.
Oof.
Like, you need Love to go 4 of 9 on threes. To make it worthwhile to have him out there.
Do you believe I disagree for this reason. Because he's a good enough reputation shooter that even at 1 of 9 you still
That's
have
true.
To,
there was space out there. That's what was happening in the fourth quarter. LeBron was going to the basket and dunking because floor was spaced.
And his energy level in the fourth quarter. Incredible, given the minutes. They were able to steal a little bit of rest for him and actually outscored the Warriors by 3 with LeBron
it's
on the bench.
It's true. Their team's plus minus that was plus 3. You got it off.
Yeah.
Good job.
We have about 20 minutes.
We don't have 20 minutes because the show's going to start.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you nice. What?
I have 9 minutes.
Oh, well, so do I because the show's about to start. Good job, though, Andrew.
Thank you.
He was like running all around this place.
Moving, trying to figure out who he had to slip at 22.
Anyway, what do we have left?
Block charge. Block charge.
So here's the best way I can say it. Now we got an argument going on.
Oh, man.
We said at the beginning of the podcast that we're sitting outside ambient and there's going to be some ambient noise. We're not in a studio.
Right.
We're hearing the sounds of Oakland.
I just want to make it known that Brian is the one that decided this would be an ideal location.
But if we would have been up... Never mind, I'm not going to get into this. So this is how I feel about it. I've said it on TV already, so I'm repurposing it.
Yeah. That's what we all do.
This is akin to like you getting caught with contraband.
Oh, no!
He stole it!
Oh, wow!
See, we got to witness
exact terminology.
Amin was putting the takes in the oven on the drive over here to Danny.
And KP gave me the term that kept blanking from my mind. The term is fruit of the poisonous tree.
That's right. This is right out of Law and Order, right?
Wow.
Fruit out of the poisonous tree, Law and Order.
He's on speakerphone. Oh!
Fruit of the poisonous tree, Your Honor. So the Cavs can't really argue about the call because it was a block.
It's a right call. But how they arrived at it.
You shouldn't be able to look at it. By the way, I'm about to say it on the jump, too.
No, you're not. Don't do that.
I said it in the freaking pitch meeting. It's on the notes. Not the pitch meeting, but the production. You're not going to be on that segment.
I am. They're going to run it back for me.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I used the word contraband in the pitch.
Okay.
Not the pitch.
I said a kilo of coke last night, and I changed it to contraband this morning because I was
right because
TV
you don't want to make it sound
like they're drug dealers.
Right, we'll negotiate after this is over, but let's get back to the point at hand.
Damn, man. Oh, okay, how about this? How about you have contraband, but you leave me fruit of the poisonous tree?
That's fine.
Okay,
deal.
All right,
fruit of the poisonous tree is cooler anyway.
It's more legal. I want to be the legal beagle.
Tune in on the replay of the jump on Friday, apparently, to see if all of this negotiation.
No, it's on the ESPN Plus app.
ESPN Plus.
We archive all the episodes.
Actually, you don't even have to do ESPN Plus. It's just on ESPN. Oh, no, it's on ESPN Plus now. Yeah. You can't just do on ESPN.
I have no idea.
Anyway.
It's the new thing. I'm pumping the new thing. I'm trying to be a company.
Yes.
What? The Cavs were so upset after that game.
Maverick Carter was very upset. After the game, walking around pretty angry.
I know LeBron was definitely angry at JR, but if I could say in the LeBron pie chart of fury, you know, Mark Schwartz, our colleague at ESPN, 6%.
Okay.
JR, 21%.
Ooh, that's okay.
And then the rest was about that call.
Well, who was it last night that was saying, I think it was, it was Howard Beck. So it was the last time we saw three calls go against LeBron in the last few minutes of a game.
I've felt this for a long time, but people just tend to give me the hand. LeBron does get favorable whistles from time to time, but the concept that it's all, lollipops and rainbows with him, with the refs, is just not true.
No, I mean, I think it's kind of like people who say James Harden gets, he gets them because he earns those calls, right? And flip side, on the defensive end, I think LeBron is very good at defending without fouling, but the idea that three consecutive calls in a very tight moment that are judgment calls will go against him is pretty...
Well, and there was also the non-call when he was going to the basket, and I think it was Durant that pulled on his forearm.
Yeah. They were upset about that too. Let me rephrase that pie chart. Because that was on there.
Yeah.
He was upset about that too. And LeBron, he remembers every time somebody, put a fingernail on his skin, he reacts to it. So.
I thought it was fascinating how big of a story that was after the game. Because, I was writing the block charge call.
Block charge, okay.
Because I was writing the instant reaction after the game. I didn't mention it. I thought the JR was if we're doing my pie chart of things that were important to this game, it was 65% JR and then 30% how amazing LeBron was, which we haven't really even talked about that much on this podcast. And then 5% the fact that Warriors actually won the game in overtime.
But to be fair, Kevin, and I guess we didn't really actually discuss the block charge, the actual rule, because the funny thing was, I know I wasn't aware of that rule of them being able to switch the judgment call.
I forgot about it at first.
Yeah.
So, I talked to somebody at the league. They said it's been reversed
someone looked it up and they actually did it. It was Oladipo. And it was Pacers versus,
Josh Huestis was involved,
yes,
right?
Pacers Thunder. Yeah. Josh Huestis.
There was also a game in Brooklyn a couple years ago.
Right. So it's definitely happened before. It's very rare.
Under 10 times is what I was told.
There you go.
In 5 years.
But the overwhelming reaction on the scene was everyone was like, when did that rule go? No one knew about the rule.
Right. That's right.
But then
which
when
may
you
speak
start
to our education level about the rules.
I mean, but then when you start doing the homework on I can't believe there's only been under 10 times in 2 or 3 years when it's actually happened.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Well, that's the overturn, right?
Time.
Not the number of times
that's
they've actually gone to the replay. Because they've gone to the replay more times, but most of the time, you're going to get it right, presumably. I mean, hopefully.
Also, officials aren't excited to run over there and reverse their own call.
Right.
If it's a black and white issue, the
guy's
on the
line. So do you think it was a factor that there was conflicting calls there? Because my understanding is that I think it was Tony Brothers was in the trail position at the top of the key called a block. And I'm not sure who it was.
Ken Maurer called the charge.
Okay.
Did Tony Brothers call a block?
That's what I heard. I have not watched that part of the replay.
I'm on the case right now.
Okay.
And while Amin is researching that, on the way over, I want to mention that our ESPN NBA editorial staff passed along to Pelton previous research that suggested referees might have biases towards, what is it, KP?
Yeah, so this was a study in 2011. I know a BYU professor was involved. I think there was someone else looking at play-by-play of games from 2002 and 2010 and using that to conclude that calls tended to favor the home team, the team that was trailing, as the Warriors were at this point, and then the team that is behind in the series. Now, what's interesting about the timing of that is, of course, it's at the very early part of, I'm not exactly sure when the NBA started doing instant replay, but it wasn't as widespread in certainly over that entire 2002 through 2010 period as it is now. And I feel like adding instant replay and then the other NBA's other measures have reduced the extent to which calls now favor the home team. Do you agree with that, Brian?
Well, I don't know, because aren't visiting teams winning more frequently than they have?
I think that's a big factor in it. I mean, there was also the research in the book scorecasting. that suggested that refereeing, I think they concluded it was the, like, almost exclusively the reason for home court advantage. I don't know if I go that far, but I do think it is a primary driver of home court advantage. So the fact that home court advantage is decreasing seems to indicate to me that referees are more willing to give the road team the whistle.
I mean, you have.
Okay, so this is what's happened as the play develops. You have Tony Brothers is a trail on the left side. Malloy is on the right side.
That's right.
And
Ken Maurer.
Ken Maurer's on the slot, right. And Tony Brothers hesitates and calls block. From the other angle, you see Ken Maurer.
He called charge.
But he doesn't call. He also hesitates and calls charge.
That's
so
right.
He takes a step, looks at Tony Brothers, and then calls charge. But it's a very, you know, it's a very kind of not assertive, like, rah, you know.
Not a Dick Pavetta skip.
He doesn't do the Frank Drebin, Enrico Palacios.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
The
like,
great reference.
Yeah, so both of them were, oh, I don't know about this, when they made the call. There was definitely a trepidation in there.
It's Enrico Palacios. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole for a while, sorry.
So, this is amazingly the second NBA podcast this week to reference Enrico Palazzo.
Oh, my gosh.
Shut that out.
By the way, on the jump later, I intend to reference Bill Buckner with J.R. Smith. Do I have clearance to do that?
Look,
we even had a question, and I'll take your advice here.
Right.
Does our viewership on the jump know Bill Buckner?
I'm going to say no.
What do you think?
Why? Yeah, it might be dicey at this point.
Not only is it old reference, but also it's not basketball; it's baseball.
Andrew Hahn, what do you think?
I barely know who Bill Buckner is, and
do you know the play I'm talking about?
It goes through his legs or something. Yeah, I'm vaguely aware.
86 Mets. So.
My point is, if Bill Buckner fields the ball and steps on first base, the game goes to extra innings. The Red Sox don't win the title.
Oh, but
the ball goes between his legs and he loses. See, Kevin's looking at me. He doesn't know that. I promise you.
There was a game seven that happened after that game.
No.
Yeah, they were
well, there
the
was a game seven.
Blowing,
yes, right? There was a game seven, but the game was already tied.
Right.
So if Bill Buckner scoops that ball up and steps on first, the Mets could have won on a walk-off home run the next inning.
Yes.
Who was the pitcher? Kelvin Schiraldi?
Calvin and Schiraldi, but I don't think that was.
This is so much baseball conversation.
All right, my point is
the George Hill in this scenario, the pitcher that allowed them to.
No, my point is, if JR gets the rebound and immediately goes back up
and misses,
how do we know
that the overtime doesn't play out the same way?
He has control over it. Like someone asked me, like, why is George Hill not getting more criticism? Because George Hill can't control whether he makes a free throw. You shoot it, and sometimes it goes in. But you can control whether you freaking know what the score is.
George Hill is Bill Buckner, right? Bill Buckner, George Hill. They didn't make mistakes of judgment. They made mistakes. Like I was trying to do the right thing.
Right.
I just messed up because I'm human.
That's.
JR made a mistake of someone who does not know what's happening.
Right.
And that's the biggest sin.
Okay.
Because if it was Jordan Clarkson, it's your first NBA Finals. All right. If you're Chetty Osmond.
Yeah, but I don't care if it's your first NBA Finals.
No.
Is it our fault for assuming that JR would ever know anything?
Hold on. Well, because
I do want to make this point.
If JR Smith does exactly what he does, comes out media later and says, I blew it, I messed up, but we're gonna get it back, and I'm confident, and if anyone's got the ability to move past a mistake.
A blunder,
it's me. But if he takes ownership of it, I think he turns into a sympathetic figure people talk about, man.
Yeah, because
remember, Wilbon was talking about Magic and the tragic Johnson thing is like a guarantee Magic and is gonna reach out to him because he knows what it feels like, and if he's just kinda like feeling, I let the team down and letting the world know that, it's cool. But to him, double down and say, I knew what the score was.
Bad.
And he said, I looked at LeBron and actually LeBron was trying to call a time. He threw LeBron in it was bad. And so that's what I think is going to color. That's what makes it open game for people to make fun of him today. Not that the internet needs much excuse, but when you hear about like media people making fun of him, I think it's because the dude didn't make us feel sorry for him.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So
we're disturbing a baby.
Is this the last best chance that the Cavs had to win a game or like make this a series? KP
has to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably not going to get that good a performance from LeBron again.
That's
really.
True.
I mean,
really?
Don't you think that was one of the greatest LeBron games of all time?
Well, it was his highest scoring playoff game of all time, and he had 237 of them.
But you don't think he can replicate that again?
I don't think he can be quite that good.
It's not like he shot 17 of 19 and like 4 of 6 from 3. He had a very good game. He had an excellent game. He had an excellent game, but it's just,
Iguodala may not be walking back through that door.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I think it's 90% of that game he can do. Now, again, if they shoot threes better, as we discussed earlier, then yes, I think they can have a better chance of winning than that.
Also, the Warriors had 7 turnovers. The Warriors could easily have 17 in game two.
No, that's, there's a lot of stuff. Again, as we bid adieu to KP, there's a lot of stuff. That
I left him podcasting and also ordering Uber at the same time.
He's walking fast. The idea that I think if I went back in time to yesterday afternoon and I told past me that, hey, Warriors are going to win a nail biter. LeBron's going to have 50. And none of the Cavs outside of LeBron are going to shoot better than 33% on their threes. The scenario I would have painted past me would have been, okay, so Warriors had 2,000 turnovers. Curry struggled again. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson got hurt and didn't come back in. Like
Draymond fouled out
or got ejected or something. There's no way I would have said Draymond shot 40% from three, including a clutch, a big one down the stretch, and Steph was amazing, and Klay, despite his injury, shot 8 of 14 from the field. That doesn't, and they only turned over, what, 7 times?
7. It wasn't going to be 8 either. Sean Livingston wasn't taking that TO.
So, again, flip side of that same conversation, if I went to myself in the past and I said, describe the Warriors' offensive performance, they won by 40.
Right.
So, if again, as much as I said Warriors in 5.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I asked KP for a grade. He said C+, and I was like, okay. I mean, that. I think it's actually higher than that. I would have given him a B plus.
But what would you give the Cavs though?
Because like an A.
You give them an A, like, minus? I give LeBron an A, but like the, I don't. Other than
well,
Kevin Love,
I thought they defended really well, and
they
I
did.
Thought
they did defend well.
I thought they competed really well.
The explanation
if they made their threes, that's what they're that's where they're A.
The explanation I gave in the cards, they didn't make enough of their threes, but the ones they made at the right junctures.
You know, all these talk about stuff in the car. Maybe you should periscope that.
No comment.
Okay, it's time for the jump. Thanks for listening to Hoop Collective. And we got more from the finals. This stuff will be happening more often. Right, Andrew Hahn?
No comment.
Okay, all right, we'll see.